all his life, plain and simple. You know, ask any baller. If you know, you know.
The game has changed, but it's still the same. You want it, go get it.
Shazam!
The inbounds pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line, the shot on Elo.
The Bulls win! They win it!
Mike, you're honestly telling me that you're top five.
Yeah.
Top five of all time.
No question about it.
Booker, this is for the win. Got it. Wow.
The ruling on the floor is made basket.
You know, one thing's for sure. Over at Valley Sports Plug, you're never going to catch us slipping.
With the first overall pick, the Phoenix Suns select.
3, 2, 1, yeah!
Welcome to Pass the Outlet, episode 22. I'm your co-host, Michael Benjamin, joined as always by my wingman, Chris Patrick. Chris, how you doing tonight? It is NBA tip-off night, brother. The league season is here. I can't believe it.
Man, Mike, you know I've been counting down the days till NBA tip-off. I'm stoked that basketball is back. I know we're right in the heart of football season. Baseball's wrapping up. But, man, what an exciting time. Basketball's here. Perfect time for us to start the season with a Pass the Outlet. But, Mike, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. I'm like a kid in a candy store. It's like Christmas morning. NBA basketball is back. We had to take a small hiatus after the Olympics just to recuperate, reset, and get ready for this 2024-2025 NBA season. But we appreciate everybody who's joining along for the ride. Make sure you're following us at AZ_VSP. Make sure you drop a like on this video, subscribe, all that good stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, we got a whole lot on the slate for tonight. Obviously, like we said, the 2024-2025 NBA season tipped off tonight. We got to do a couple of predictions as well, Chris, who we got for our favorites for the awards of the end of the year. And then, of course, we're going to talk about our Phoenix Suns. It truly is new beginnings here in the Valley. But let's get this thing rolling, Chris. And like we said, tonight, October 22nd, was the official tip-off. We saw at 4:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, the New York Knicks went to Boston to take on the reigning champion Boston Celtics. And yikes, Chris, it was not even a contest. Boston won 132-109. They shot almost 50% from the three-point line. 29 out of 61. It seemed like they were just knocking everything down. 37 points and 10 assists from Jason Tatum. And then we also have the later game, which is going on right now. So we appreciate you guys if you're with us. But we didn't care because it's the Los Angeles Lakers playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. We got more important things to talk about. But then the big slate coming up tomorrow, we have Milwaukee at Philly, Orlando at Miami, Charlotte goes to Houston to take on the Rockets, and our Phoenix Suns are headed to Los Angeles to play the Clippers in the new Intuit Dome, if I'm not mistaken. I saw a couple of preseason action games there. It looks awesome. It definitely is a place that I got to make sure I head out and watch. Hopefully the Suns play the Clippers there in the future. But Chris, and obviously we know the midseason tournament returns this year as the Emirates NBA Cup is going to happen around November 12th. But since the league season is officially here, Chris, I got to ask you, what's your favorite part about the NBA tip-off every year? What is it, man? I got to know.
Oh, man. I mean, most years, if there's enough action in the offseason, my favorite thing is easily the new faces in new places. When players get traded in the offseason or they're on an expiring deal, they can go sign with someone else. Some of the big ones that I'm really keeping an eye on to start the season is Russ going to Denver. How is he going to fit in with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic? I imagine they bring him in for his veteran presence, his ability to win big games and to kind of in the last couple of years be able to fit a role that is asked of him. So he's used to being that superstar go-to guy early in his career, but we've seen him recently kind of be able to take that back seat. So what kind of role can he play within those two stars there in Denver? That's a big one for me. I think the Paul George to Philly is kind of funny. A lot of people are clowning how injured and how chronically injured Paul George and Joel Embiid are. I just think I saw today a quote where Joel Embiid said that he doesn't see himself playing back-to-backs ever for the rest of his career. Don't know if that's a real quote, but I very much believe it could be given Joel Embiid's history. And I mean, I get the load management, and that's, I'm sure, a conversation that we'll have throughout the season, especially with our old aging superstars on this roster and health concerns. But yeah, really excited for this season. Some other moves, of course, you got Chris Paul to the Spurs, how he's going to match up again, veteran leadership with the young guy, and Victor Wembanyama had a historical rookie season, just an absolute freak. What is he, 7'6"? Seven, huge, seven big. Anything over 7'2 is huge.
I think he's 7'3".
Oh, okay, so he's not.
You're
that
thinking
crazy.
Yao Ming. You're going back in the eras, man.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. But the last one, and the one that I think I'm most curious about, is Klay Thompson going to Dallas to link up with Luka and Kyrie Irving, and that could be very interesting. That you're talking about three lethal shooters there in the three of them, and when Klay Thompson is your third option, you kind of think if he can recapture even a sliver of the Splash Brothers magic, and you know the mid 2000s. You know, what it was, like 2013 to 2020 type of Klay Thompson, where you have him spot up and shoot three pointers and you'll be set. I think he's had a bit of a slow start in preseason, but you can always throw an asterisk on everything preseason. But Mike, the regular season is here, and I think plenty of storylines to follow.
Absolutely. Klay Thompson, the famous 60 points on what, 4 or 5 dribbles, just absolutely insane. It's going to be crazy to see how he can go into the pairing with Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. But Chris, you hit the nail right on the head. Every single year, what are we really looking at? We're trying to see what the new landscape looks like. Every year in the NBA, it's just basically within sports as well, professional sports in America, there are always so many moving pieces and high-profile pieces, to say that to the least. But that's perfect. It rolls right into my next question, Chris. Who are you keeping an eye on to start this season? It can be a team. It can be a specific player. But who are you keeping an eye on?
Ooh, man, this is a good one. A lot of contenders. Of course, it goes without saying I'm going to be keeping a close eye on everything going on with the Phoenix Suns. Keep my cautious optimism with them. But if we're looking at the greater landscape of the NBA, the team I really have my eye on is one kind of close to home here in the West, is Oklahoma City and the Thunder. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is coming off a career year. Absolutely incredible guard that they have in him. The fact that they stole him away from the Clippers is absolutely incredible. The way he's continued to evolve. Chet Holmgren, now past his kind of stumbling into the beginning of his career, he was in the talks for Defensive Player of the Year last year. Just really exciting young team that I think they, you know, they added, what was it, Scott Caruso in the middle of this season for Josh Giddey. So kind of maybe a one-for-one swap there, but Caruso does bring, I think, a different pace of play that could match up well with them. So a young, hot, up-and-coming team in Oklahoma City, I think they're going to be high in the West this year.
Oh, no doubt about it. Chris, I would not be surprised if that Oklahoma City Thunder team wins 60-plus games this year. That's how good I think they're going to be. But I did pick a team as well, and I'm going to the East, Chris. For some reason, I have a very large fascination with what this team can do, and it is the team that got clobbered tonight. It's the New York Knicks, man. I am just very, very intrigued to see how it's going to work in New York. Obviously, for that large market, it is better for the NBA when that team is truly functioning and functioning at a high level to be competitive. And it seems like they've started to build the pieces forward. Now, it was a tough start tonight, don't get me wrong, but the Celtics, it looked like they didn't miss a beat, and they're going to be the force to be reckoned with in the East. But man, you just talk about the defensive prowess, bringing in Mikal Bridges to already go with OG Anunoby and Josh Hart. And then you have Jalen Brunson, who he's made the shift into a superstar already, right? He's bona fide top 5 point guard in this league. And then the big questions. I mean, what does the addition of Karl Anthony Towns do? I think specifically for the offensive side, because my question is, when Mitchell Robinson comes back from that ankle injury that he's nursing to start this year. Can he be that defensive Rudy Gobert role and let Cat play at his natural four position? Because there were a lot of question marks when they made the trade for Rudy Gobert, when I'm talking about Minnesota a couple seasons ago. But what happened? It was successful. It was very successful last year, and they came up just a little bit short from making the NBA Finals. But Chris, I'll pass over to you one more time. Anybody else you're looking at? Anybody catching your eye, you know, as we get this ball rolling for the 2024-2025 season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the last team that I would kind of be cautious about and not underestimate, it sounds ridiculous to say underestimate the team that just won the NBA championship the year before, but those Boston Celtics, man, you can tell they're hitting the ground running, wanted to make a statement and smacked New York early. It's my personal opinion that the West is back to being the strongest conference in basketball, and it's not even close. So I think Boston really has a chance to quietly run through the entire Eastern Conference, make it back into the playoffs. And they are, you know, all things considered, a pretty young team with a core of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So watch out for a back-to-back potential there for the Celtics. I certainly think that they're writing themselves into the Eastern Conference championship.
And they were able to basically keep all of their main pieces around. I mean, tonight, Derek White, it looks like that Olympic trial run that he had really kind of paid off for him. Same with Jason Tatum, man. He came out scorching. I think the Celtics almost set a franchise record for most three-pointers made in a half in that first half, just utterly dominant. But, you know, there was a lot of the speculation and talk during the Olympic run that Jason Tatum wasn't getting a lot of play and he was ready to make his statement to start this season. But I don't know, maybe his name will come up here, Chris, because, you know, we got to transition to everybody's favorite talking points before a season starts, which is our award predictions. And we got a few of them. We're not going to go through all of them, but we're going to focus kind of on our main ones, which is the Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man, Most Improved, and the MVP. So, Chris, I want to start off with the Young Guns and the Rookie of the Year. This graphic has a couple of different guys that I'm sure we're going to touch on. But, Chris, we're going to start with you on each category. Who is your preseason award prediction to win the Rookie of the Year?
Mike, this one is interesting, right? Because this is probably one of the correct me if I'm wrong here, most lackluster rookie classes of the last possibly decade. I mean, as far back as I can remember, and I think my memory gets a little shorter each year. So I don't know, man. It's just when I look at the names that I just trying to think of a guy that'll have a big enough impact for his team to win Rookie of the Year. It's for me, I mean, looking at him right there in between Shea and Adam Silver, it's got to be Zach Edey. He's going to be starting at center for the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that wants to contend in the West. He's going to be down low with Jaren Jackson Jr. So kind of, again, kind of like New York had with the big Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle, you're going to have an agile, you know, tall forward paired up with the big body of Zach Edey. I think he is actually like 7'4" or something like that. He is right up there in height, maybe 7'2". Maybe I'm exaggerating the height of these guys again, but Edie's a big body. The big concern with him is he going to be able to move his ass up and down the court? I think he wants to prove the doubters wrong, show that he can, but I mean, oh, he is 7'4". I had that written down here, but in his last year of college, I mean, I know it's hard to compare college to the NBA, but 25 points per game, 12 rebounds and 2 blocks last year in his last season there in college. So kind of impressive. I think that is going to be my guy to watch. Again, not too many players, I think, that are in the contention for this conversation. But what about you, Mike? Who you got?
I like it. And to let the people know, Chris and I did not go over our picks beforehand, but we've been paying attention to what's been going on in the offseason. So I would not be surprised if we have a couple of the same picks. And Chris, it's starting off right here. Zach Edey, that's who I have from the Memphis Grizzlies. He's starting off this season at the five as well because Jaren Jackson is sidelined with a hamstring injury. So, I mean, you just think about where he's going to get his touches. He could easily shoot over 65% this year. And in the preseason, he was nice from the foul line, right? About 75%. So he's going to be able to get to that free throw line. And if you get those gimmies, your production just continues to just propel forward, right? I think it's easy to predict Zach Edey averaging 15 points and 8 rebounds a night. And honestly, Chris, probably not in as many minutes as people would think, maybe 22 to 26 minutes. Like you said, sometimes there is questions with those bigger guys about their athleticism and ability to stay on the floor the same way that you see some of these guards play 40 minutes a night. But Zach Edey is a hustler, and I think he's going to be well welcomed with Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies as they're looking to have a bounce back year. But I'll throw a dark horse in there, Chris. It's another guy in this graphic. It's Reed Sheppard, the number three pick from the Houston Rockets out of Kentucky. I mean, he shot over 50% at Kentucky in his 1 year. He's going to be a nice complementary piece to Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr. And he's just really a natural floor leader. And I think that's what this Houston Rockets team needs to move forward. Fred VanVleet is getting a little bit older, and I really like what Reed Sheppard is probably going to be able to do to pair up with those two other big guys in Houston. So going to watch them too this year as well. All right, time to transition, Chris. Defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert won last year. I wonder who you're going to take, Chris. Who are you thinking is going to win defensive player of the year this year?
Oh, Mike, you kind of said I do have a feeling that we might have some similar pictures here. And I'm basing that off how the rookie of the year predictions went. And also I'm basing it off of what we're seeing here on this graphic. I think this guy, the reigning rookie of the year, Victor Wembanyama, is a shoo-in for defensive player of the year. He was in the conversation last year. You mentioned Rudy got it. But man, what he had, 10.6 rebounds per game, 3.6 blocks per game. This guy played in 71 games as a rookie. You know, I always say it anyway. If these guys got to stay healthy, of course, especially now in the NBA with the games minimum to be eligible for these season awards. But man, you got to love everything about Wembanyama and his ability to play defense, get the rebounds, get the blocks. I mean, the blocks alone, man, is just impressive. And I expect he's going to have way more than 10.6 rebounds per game this season. I would, as what would Tallman say? He said, I would put a mortgage payment on that. But yeah. Mike, what about you, bro?
I might put a mortgage payment on Wembanyama winning defensive player of the year this year, Chris. I mean, 8.4 defensive rebounds in 71 games last year in 2023-2024. Victor Wembanyama has already shown himself as a generational talent. You know, sometimes we throw that around willy-nilly. I think it can go throughout sports. But he has absolutely shown he's going to be a difference maker in the NBA within just a few short years, I think, which as a Phoenix Suns fan really just stings my soul a little bit. But Wembanyama is going to be in the running for a couple of these, man. You know, most improved. He might get some MVP votes as well this year because I think the addition of Chris Paul, getting Chris back to controlling the basketball, running those pick and rolls with Wembanyama, Wemby's offensive game is going to take a very large step this year as well, just playing with Chris Paul. So this is an easy one. Defensive player of the year, Wembanyama. If you want to make money on this bet before the season, you're going to have to throw a lot of scratch on this because I think it's really leaning heavy towards Wemby. All right, Chris, sixth man of the year. Last year, it was Naz Reid of the Minnesota Timberwolves. A couple of guys in the preseason votings getting some love this year, but who are you thinking might take it this year for sixth man of the year?
Man, this one is one that I think was kind of tough for me. This and most improved player, because it's not as clear cut, or I don't want to say predictable, because you can never really 100% predict, but you can always usually, you know, key in on a handful of guys that are most likely going to be eligible for it. And then you could be surprised later on. But sixth man, this is where we might start to differ a little bit, Mike. I'm curious how it goes. I went a little homer on this pick, but I genuinely do believe that this guy could be eligible for sixth man of the year. And that's Grayson Allen, man. I think especially, you know, he's going to be out there with the second unit. Last year, he led the league in 3-point shooting percentage with 46.1%. I think his ability to knock down the 3-point shot, it seems like he's been taking a step every year, even from when the couple years before he joined the Suns to now since he's been on the Suns the last couple seasons. I think with him being able to be out there with a different pairing of these guys once we get into the later quarters, of if he's going to be paired up with Brad or Booker, or of course Tyus Jones, I'm sure at times he'll even be paired up with, if we're having Booker run point or Beal run point. I just think there's going to be a lot of options for him to come in. And especially, you know, you hope we're blowing out some teams really big and we kind of run these guys in the second unit a little bit longer. And Allen might be able to do some stat padding. So homer pick, I like Grayson Allen for dark horse six man.
Chris, I absolutely love it. Grayson Allen is going to have a lot of opportunities in that second unit. The guy got paid for a reason and he's bulked up. The one thing that kind of makes me nervous, though, is that he's already dealing with an Achilles injury to start the season. But I think Grayson's going to be just fine. We're going to get rolling to start this season. But Chris, you're right. This is where we start to differ. I think in my eyes, this award, I'm surprised Malik Monk didn't win it last year, right? He's entering his third season with Sacramento. His numbers went up as far as stat-wise, 15.4 points from 13.5. And then 5.1 assists up from 3.9. But the biggest question mark for me is going to see how the effect of adding DeMar DeRozan in changes anything. Are they going to pair together? Because we still know DeMar kind of dominates taking a brunt of shots. I mean, as well, I think a big reason why Malik's numbers propelled up a little bit more and he got more time was Kevin Huerter going down, I think, with the shoulder injury last year. So he's healthy and he's back for the Sacramento Kings. But Chris, my guy who I think will probably win this is newly traded Dante DiVincenzo of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So we're saying back-to-back Timberwolves, right? Naz Reid last year, Dante this year. I mean, had the best year of his career last year. 15.5 points, 3.7 rebounds. His assist did drop a bit, but he shot 40% from three. And Naz Reid is going to shift into a larger role. I'm wondering if at some point this year, Naz shifts into the starting lineup if he doesn't already. Probably not, because he truly is a five and Rudy is at the five. Obviously, Julius Randle is going to be starting at the four. But I think Dante DiVincenzo, he already showed in that preseason game against the New York Knicks, he has a very, very large chip on his shoulder, because I think he was ready to rock with his buddies over in New York after they traded for Mikal Bridges, and he was shipped out of town just a few weeks later, it seemed like. So I think he's ready to come out scorching, and that's who I got, Dante DiVincenzo. All right, Chris, we got two more. Most improved player, I got to know, who are you thinking might take this one this year?
Oh boy, man. This is, again, another one that was tough. I think I'm going to hit you with two. One that I think is more realistic, and then one that I think is another dark horse homer pick, spoiler alert. But I think, I mean, you kind of mentioned it there a bit ago discussing the defensive player of the year. Victor Wembanyama could take a huge leap forward. You always consider the sophomore slump, but I think a generational talent and physical freak like Wembanyama might be slump proof as far as, you know, being set back by injuries or anything horrible. But a healthy Victor Wembanyama will certainly be in the conversation for most improved, at least stats wise on paper. I know he was already a beast, but I think he, you know, he's only going to improve. I'll let that be. I think my pick that I would want to see, and I'm curious if this guy has to play his ass off, but in a new situation, did play the best season of his career last year, Suns point guard Tyus Jones. Last season, he has even more weapons now than he did then. I think he has the ability and the ceiling to average 10 plus assists per game, depending on how much this Mike Budenholzer offense has him handling the ball, distributing to his shooters that we've kind of built out around him. Devin Booker can be knocked down. Kevin Durant can be knocked down. Dish it inside on a roll or something into Nurk. You got Mason Plumlee is a great addition. I know we're going to talk more about the Suns, but I just think, again, my slogan this year might be cautious optimism, Mike, but I think that there are a lot of weapons on the Suns team that if they play up to their potential, I mean, that's always the caveat, right? Are they going to play up to their potential? Tyus Jones is going to have a huge opportunity for assists. And with so many other star players being magnets on the court, kind of drawing the best defenders, Tyus Jones will probably have some open looks to get some points too. So that's my dark horse. Tyus Jones, please take the leap of your career and be the point guard we need.
Chris, I love it. You keep bringing it back to the Valley Ties. Tyus Jones, the assist, or what is it? The turnover to assist ratio. King, yes. Right? Yes. Six straight years leading. I can't wait to see how he develops this offense and gets things moving a little bit forward. And like you said, we're going to get into that in just a bit. But Chris, there is one person that is on my list for most improved player of the year this year. and it's Jalen Williams of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think the biggest thing is because year three seems to always be the sweet spot for guys to win most improved. I think Wemby takes a step this year, but his ceiling is already so high, right? But Jalen Williams, man, what a year last year, leading Oklahoma City to that number one seed in the Western Conference, 19.1 points, 4 rebounds, and 4.5 assists. He'll still have some defensive responsibilities, obviously, but the burden is lessened, like you said, with the addition of Alex Caruso, because he's going to be able to get out on some of those really dominant stretch guards, forwards, who are going to be asked to score a lot. But he's the bona fide second star on a championship contender, right? He will probably be an all-star this year as well. So if I think he continues to expand those numbers, which are already great, gets the all-star nod, and leads this team to 55-plus wins, I think it's his award to lose. So I'm going with Jalen Williams of the Oklahoma City Thunder. But Chris, the last one, it's the heavy hitter, the most valuable player. This one is always up in controversy, it seems like every single season. But Chris, who are you thinking is going to win the 2024-2025 Kia MVP?
Oh man, again, this could be any number of players. I think it's probably down to a pretty tight handful, 5 to 10. I mean, there's always flashy numbers, but MVP is always, I think you said it there, Mike, like just highly debated, anticipated, the most controversial. You know, there's all the theories that you're not allowed to win three in a row. And what is it, the numbers that you put up, or is it how much you contribute to your team? Because a lot of people, you know, want to make the conversation that, or the argument that LeBron James could really be considered for MVP more than half of the seasons he played in his career, and probably should have won way more than he has. But without getting into a deeper conversation about my feelings on the NBA award, to answer your question, Mike, I mentioned this guy earlier, but if he plays like he did last year and continues to progress, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a lock to be in the MVP conversation. We got him big and bright and shiny, determined looking up here in the right side of this graphic. Mike, last season he averaged 30 points, 5.5 rebounds, and 6.2 assists with 2 steals a game. 30 points, 6 assists, and 2 steals per game. This guy is playing incredible on both sides of the ball. He is the backbone and the heart and the soul of that Oklahoma City Thunder team. Very young and exciting, fast-paced team to watch. I've always had a soft spot for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I won't lie, Mike, during the dark days of the Phoenix Suns, I won't say I was rooting for Oklahoma City. But I will say when I was playing 2K, my franchise was Oklahoma City and not Phoenix. But that's neither here nor there, because OKC is back, man. They're back. And I'm happy for them, because I know that fan base was probably feeling pretty down when they lost KD and Russ. But now they got Shai Gilgeous, Chet Holmgren, and the gang, and they're gonna have a bright future. But Shai, MVP, baby. Let's go.
OKC is back. And Chris, it's only right that for the final award that we predict, we get back on the same page. I have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander winning this one this season as well. I mean, he should average 30-plus again for, like I said, a 55-plus, let's be honest, possibly 60-plus win team this year. I think they are that good, right? And he's been smoothing out his three-point release. He truly is just the whole package at the point guard position. I'm not sure if there's anybody better than him in the NBA. Obviously not when I pick him to be MVP, but, man, you just talk about another year with Chet. You know, they add in Isaiah Hartenstein and Alex Caruso, like I had already said, the continued growth of Jalen Williams, the Cason Wallace growth, you know, to spell him at points, man, that just adds up to a lot of wins for a team. And I think he's truly one of those guys who has put in the work the past three seasons to propel himself as the guy at the point guard position in the NBA. So I'm going with SGA. And Chris, you know, I had to go with SGA because of all those years that he led my fantasy squad to wins and championships over you. Got anything to say about that, man, before we move on?
You know, Mike, I think after my three-peat, I had to, you know, be charitable and give you an opportunity win some. No, you know, it's all good, Mike. You know, I might have it might always be you and me in the finals, it seems like, and we each get our turn. You know, props to you.
There we go. Well, I appreciate it, my brother. And with that being said, it's time to move on to the Valley Squad. Chris, do you know what this year's moniker is, I guess, or the slogan for the Phoenix Suns? Have you seen it yet?
I have not. I have my own personal slogan I mentioned, but I haven't seen the Suns. What do we got?
Wait, hold on. What is your personal slogan?
Cautious optimism.
Okay, well, that's basically every year's slogan, so I feel that. Yeah. But the slogan, the official slogan for the Phoenix Suns for 2024-2025 is Suns Up. Suns Up, I added in the Valley, but it's hashtag Suns Up. The Phoenix Suns are getting rolling tomorrow, Wednesday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. in Los Angeles against the Clippers. Let's take a look at the first 10 real quick, Chris. So we're in L.A. for actually the first two games. We play the Clippers, then we play the Lakers on Friday, and then we come home for that home opener on Saturday, October 26th, against Luka, Kyrie, and the Dallas Mavericks. Chris, are you going to that game on Saturday?
Mike, I will be at that game on Saturday.
With you heard it here first, folks. We will be there on Saturday to get the season rolling. I can't wait. So after that home opener, then we have Los Angeles, the Lakers, and then we play the Clippers on Halloween. And then the final five of the first five, of the first 10, we have three at home versus Portland, Philly, Miami, and then we're at Dallas and then home for Sacramento. But Chris, there's a lot of buzz in the Valley, man. The national media is also kind of hitting it hard to start this season, as six out of the first nine games are either on ESPN or NBA TV to start this season. But before we get into it further, Chris, what's your high-level outlook for this Phoenix Suns squad, man?
Oh, Mike, I am losing hair and going gray and aging rapidly as I await. I think all this tension is building up to just whatever happens, happens from here. It's hard, right? Because there are a lot of reasons to be optimistic. For the most part, we got a fully healthy squad. We're going to see the big three healthy to start. I think a lot of people would agree that our bench, you know, on paper looks a lot better than it did last year, although we were very excited about them before the game started being played. A new head coach, though, in Mike Budenholzer, I will say I like this coaching selection a lot more than I liked the Frank Vogel selection. I think the having them select Frank Vogel to be their head coach of last season was more out of necessity and lack of options versus them actually really wanting Frank Vogel. But I feel like Budenholzer, being an Arizona guy, having been a championship coach, I mean, you can say Vogel was a championship coach, but wasn't that the asterisk 2020 bubble chip that Frank Vogel won? So, I mean, took that with a grain of salt. But Budenholzer coached Giannis, who is historically, I mean, I think in recent news, been known to not be the most easy guy to coach, I'll say nicely. So he has that pedigree, that championship pedigree. We have the superstars. Yes, the age is going up a little bit. We, in theory, have the bench. Now, how is it all going to come together? How are these superstars and this team, this core that was already here, going to fit and gel with the new head coach? I think just the amount of questions right now, and knowing that it's all going to take time before we have any answers, I just hope that it's a smoother sailing journey than it was last season.
Well, and that's the biggest thing, I think, to start this year as well, right? I feel like a lot of fans have started to get the bad taste out of our mouths from what happened at the end of last year, right? Obviously, getting swept by the Minnesota Timberwolves, the rumblings about Frank Vogel losing the locker room, the different quotes that came out from Kevin Durant. You know, it just was not the right fit for this team. And this perfectly transitions into kind of what you were talking about with Mike Budenholzer. Chris, what do you think is the difference that can be made by Mike Budenholzer for this Phoenix Suns squad to start this year? What are we going to see the improvements in, I guess, really flash at us to start?
Well, Mike, I think from my perspective, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I understood it that Frank Vogel was more of a defensive-minded head coach, and that was kind of what they were looking for in him, is like, okay, Suns kind of struggled in defense. And we did play much better defense last year, but that was very much at the detriment of him not being a very skilled offensive-style head coach. And as we see this roster constructed, it's very offense heavy. Not to say our guys can't play defense, but they're known more for their offense. Looking at you, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. So I think Mike Budenholzer, again, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong here, is a more offensive-minded head coach, been known to be able to draw up a play or two and get the offense flowing. So if it gets to a point where we're in a shootout, I'm much more confident in this year's team under Mike Budenholzer versus, you know, you can, they say defense wins championships, and that's true to an extent, but you can have all the defensive stops in the world, but if you're not turning that into points, then you're kind of SOL. So I think from that perspective, I that's why I like the Budenholzer selection more, because I think he fits more with the makeup of this team being a more offensive constructed squad.
That's it. That's 100% it, which was why the Frank Vogel hiring last year was still such a head scratcher for so many people. When you have two of the top 10 scorers in this league and you say, let's focus on defense, it's crazy, man. I mean, there are a lot of differences that are going to be seen early within this team, right? What were our struggles? Controlling the basketball, turning the ball over, just because Devin Booker and Bradley Beal had to play point guard, right? Now you got Tyus Jones. Now you got Monte Morris. You have guys who control an offense. Getting away from those, come down the floor, everybody set outside on the perimeter, pass it to KD on the block, and just watch him dribble around for 10, 15 seconds until the shot clock is out. Those days seem to be gone, right? There's going to be times that it'll happen, but it'll work within the gameplay. And you're going to see some of it from some of these clips that we got from the outlet point guard. But the biggest thing I think, Chris, out of Mike Budenholzer in his tenure as a head coach is his ability to really ramp it up in the regular season to get wins, to put his team in better positions for seeding, right? If you think about this team last year, we still won 49 games with all of the troubles that we had. You think about just cleaning up some of those turnovers, playing a little bit more of passing offense, not dribble heavy, not one-on-one ball dominant kind of stuff. It will lead to more wins. And we're going to get into our win predictions here in just a second, Chris. But one of those guys, the main guy who is entering season 10, Devin Booker, man, just coming off his second gold medal with Kevin Durant, who set the all-time record, right, for gold medals for a man for basketball, if I'm not mistaken. But Chris, I was hearing some speculations going back to MVP. Do you think that Devin Booker in year 10 might find his way into the top three of MVP voting this year? Do you think there's a chance?
You know, Mike, I want to always believe that there is a chance, but I know that there are more Devin Booker haters than appreciators out there. Phoenix gets no love, and I feel like Devin Booker, he can put points up in droves, and I'm dancing around this question, Mike. I don't know if you noticed. I'm dancing around the question a little bit. I mean, the short answer is no. No, yeah. I don't think he's going to be in the top three, because he would have to put up a Herculean effort and just have numbers that blow you off the page to get the national media talking about him in that conversation.
That's true. And I think a lot of people had possible expectations last year off of his run against the Clippers and the Nuggets and his MJ-like numbers that he was putting up, saying that he might have been in the top three last year. But you really have to think about how this team is going to be successful and how many mouths that have to be fed for this Phoenix Suns unit, right? If you think about it, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker both averaged 27.1 points last year, right? Just not going to be enough to get over the hump. Then you have to add in Bradley Beal, who can be anywhere between 16 to 20 points. I don't think Brad will reach those 20 points. There's just not enough touches of the basketball to go around. But too many mouths to feed for this Phoenix Suns team. But in our blessed version of Valley basketball, Chris, which we did not get for about a decade, it's a good problem to have.
Well, and I would also just say, Mike, I let me know if you agree here, but Devin Booker puts up his numbers pretty quietly. Right. He's not getting a flashy 30 points a game. He's getting those numbers where you're watching like, oh, he scored another one. Oh, another mid-range. Oh, another layup. Next thing you know, it's the third quarter and you're like, oh, Devin Booker has 24 points. I didn't even see him do that. So I think that is another thing where he's not going to be getting the Sports Center top 10 highlights. So he's not going to be as much out there in the conversation for MVP as much as like a high flyer, you know, guy doing crazy passes like a Shai Gilgeous, like Luka makes some ridiculous plays. you know, those guys tend to get those more highlight-esque plays.
That's it, Chris. I mean, effective and efficient. You could just have that be Devin Booker's middle name, right? It's also a reason why he was a key catalyst for that USA Olympics basketball team. He is a student of the game. He works within everything on the floor and takes what he can get. And everything just always seems to be smart plays with Devin. I mean, when you play the amount of minutes like these superstars do, yes, there are mistakes that are made. But look at his efficiency over the past 6 years, Chris. I mean, he continues to improve on the little things within his game. You think about the times that he was asked to be a point guard. His assists shot up, right? Because he's making more plays, looking to get his teammates involved. And I think one of the things we're going to see this year for him to continue to improve, and it's going to be a huge thing for this Phoenix Suns team as a whole, but Book's going to let it fly from outside. So he could have a career year in three-point percentage, and I can't wait to see it, man. But Chris, before I get into our predictions, I got one more question. There's a lot of moving pieces that happened this offseason, as usual, right, like we said. But what piece do you think makes the largest impact to this Phoenix Suns unit, man?
Yeah, I think I almost might have hinted at this question a little bit earlier, but for me, it's Mason Plumlee, man. He is a solid center. I think he'll be a good, solid backup for Nurk. I think we've seen over the past couple of seasons some guys we thought would be good and then didn't quite work out as good. There was, of course, Drew Eubanks last season. Mike, help me with the name of the guy from two seasons ago. I think he ended up going to San Antonio.
Kata Bates Yop?
No, white dude. Big white dude.
Oh, Jock Landale?
Jock Landale. Yeah, Houston. There you go. Jock Landale. So, you know, those guys, they had times where they kind of garnered a little bit of that fan favorite, status as like the backup big guy. Phoenix loves their backup big guys to get behind. But Eubanks really fell off a favor real quickly last year. I just think Mason Plumlee, he's been around now. It's crazy to think that he's a veteran in this league, but he's a stocky, tall veteran that I think will really contribute to this team in a big way and be able to give Nurk some rest and still be someone that we can rely on to play defense, grab boards, score an easy bucket when called upon.
I like it. I'm surprised though, man. I thought you were going to go with Tyus Jones because I think that is the biggest answer for a lot of Phoenix Suns teams, right? I mean, like I already said, Bradley Beal and Devin Booker are scorers. They do not need to be running the offense from across half court. There's going to be times where the point guard will bring it up and then the action gets set with them. I get it. But having to expend that energy, just bringing the ball up, it took a toll on those two last year. And you could just tell. So adding Tyus Jones in, who is the assist to turnover ratio king, like we already said, gets this offense moving. It gets guys just free flowing a little bit better instead of stagnant, trying to go one-on-one, create opportunities. And I really think it truly is him, but I'll throw the dark horse at you. It's a guy on this graphic, Ryan Dunn, man, from what he's done in this preseason, his ability to shoot from outside, which has surprised everybody. We'll see if it can carry over and it can be consistent, but something that gets me excited is his ability to defend with his length, right? When we thought that Josh Okogie was going to be a guy who would come in and have to kind of take on the Luka Doncic roles, right? Those bigger guards. Ryan Dunn, if he proves that he's capable to be part of this complete roster as things move forward, he could be a very, very big difference maker. And a lot of people are already saying he might be the steal of the draft, but Chris, we're just getting started. You know, here at Valley Sports Plug, we keep it rolling with Phoenix Suns coverage throughout the season. We got recaps on every two-week basis for you guys, so make sure you're coming back. At AZ_VSP is where you can find us on all our socials and obviously here on Valley Sports Plug YouTube. But Chris, it's that time. It's time for the Outlet Point Guard. And I got a couple of clips from the preseason of our Phoenix Suns because, Chris, I just can't wait anymore. Phoenix Suns basketball is back, and it's back tomorrow. But I got to take a look at what we might expect to see from this Phoenix Suns team this year. So we're just going to get it rolling right off the bat. And like a guy just ended off with, Ryan Dunn, right? Nice defensive play with the strip of Cade Cunningham right into a pull-up three. Gotta love to see it. And then Oso Iguodoro was known for his passing ability. I think these two rookies might be able to make an impact earlier than we thought, right? And then our big man, Yusuf Nurkic, no matter what you say about him, he was a big part of our success last year. And the big man has slimmed down. I can't wait to see how he continues to contribute. This is going to be, I think, the biggest key for this Phoenix Suns basketball team. And it's a big key for any team, right? Moving the basketball, making the right play, continuing to utilize your weapons. And guys are going to get open shots like this all year long because we got a lot of guys who can shoot the basketball. And I think, like, right there, it's going to be predicated off of that man, Tyus Jones. But Chris, let's roll it back right up to the top. Ryan Dunn and Oso Iguodoro. What have you been seeing from this guy, from these guys to start, and what are you excited about?
I'm really excited about Ryan Dunn. I mean, he is probably the guy that I don't think I'm spoiling anything for when we get to Reddit Reacts, but there's a lot of people, especially in the Suns Reddit, that are really excited about this young guy. He can shoot. He can defend. He's looking like he's ready to go. I mean, you already mentioned he could be the steal of the draft. I really genuinely do think that we could see him get a lot of playing time. And Budenholzer is going to have some hard decisions to make when you consider how and who he's going to give these minutes to. You love to see it from the young guys on the roster coming in, making an impact. Now, again, preseason, asterisks, how hard are teams playing? You're playing their backups, you're playing your backups. But what a smart play right there. What a good pass. I will say, just high level throughout all of these clips, it's really nice to see what looks like an actual offense being run, as opposed to, like you had said, the one-on-one mishap, you know, kind of looking lost at times. This offense, I mean, that's just a smart play on that pull-up, recognizing you have the space, the defender is completely gone, and then this pass, being patient, one hand, super smart. He stared it down, but he was able to because the defender wasn't even paying attention. So you love to see it.
Yeah, I always love when the defender bites high. Like, that's basketball 101. What is he going to do? Why are you retreating out to pressure that far? You know, Monte Morris, let him get the ball. Make sure you keep the man between you and in the basket, right? That's basketball 101. But Oso has proven that he is a big man who can pass, man. But I got to go back to Ryan Dunn here. I mean, the one thing, like I already talked about, his length comparative to someone like a Josh Okogie, it's going to be disruptive on a consistent basis on the defensive end. I mean, you just see his patience with his back pedal as Cade Cunningham is coming with some steam, not a full head of steam, but attacking the basket and is able to literally just disrupt that shot and strip it right away from Cade right at the basket. And then to have just the confidence to let it go, Chris. I mean, how many times have we come on here on Pass the Outlet and just talked about how confidence is key for some of these guys, especially these young guys? And I think I had seen a stat where all of last year at Virginia, Ryan Dunn had shot, I think, 34 threes in the season, right? And then he comes out, shoots 11 threes against the Denver Nuggets, goes 6 out of 11, and then shot more threes or almost the amount of threes in 4 preseason games as he did all of last year. So this coaching staff is already installing confidence into Ryan Dunn and saying, hey, my young guy, you have the green light. Go ahead and prove it. You've been working on it this offseason, so let's see it here. But Chris, big man, I know you already talked about Mason Plumlee, how he's going to be a key contributor to that second line. What do you think Yusuf Nurkic is going to be able to bring in year two with this Phoenix Suns club?
Oh, man, I'm really excited for Nurk. This coast-to-coast play is absolutely crazy. It's not the quickest play, obviously, but that's to be expected from your big 7-foot center. But, I mean, you don't have to have crazy handle to lumber up the floor, but that finish, that follow-through, I think, you know, aside from this individual play alone, Nurk is going to bring all the wealth of knowledge, then everything he learned about playing with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, and really be able to start to fill the role that's being asked of him, especially now that he's going to have, I think, stronger guidance. We mentioned how Mike Budenholzer is more offensive-minded. He's going to be able to talk to Nurk, tell him and explain to him exactly what he wants to see from him on the offensive side of the ball. And that, along with now having Bisbee the second year playing with his teammates, pretty much the core of this group is exactly the same. Only the sky's the limit for Yusuf Nurkic, man. I'm really excited for what he can do.
The beautiful thing I think about Yusuf's game as well is his ability to show an unselfish nature as soon as he stepped on the floor for the Phoenix Suns. And it started last year, right? If you think about this club, we are a bit undersized, Chris. Yes, we do have Kevin Durant, who is a damn 7-footer. Don't tell me otherwise, right? But, you know, we don't have that much depth at the four. Adding Oso definitely helps that. And then Mason Plumlee you got as your backup. But if you think about guys like Royce O'Neal, Grayson Allen, I mean, obviously Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, Yusuf Nurkic, the burden of rebounding comes upon him. And it seems like he takes that to heart, right? And controlling the paint, there were a lot of questions about his ability to finish at the rim last year. And I know there's been some talking points about him getting the green light as well to shoot more threes. I mean, that's just going to be a thing for this Phoenix Suns team. But his unselfishness and willingness to fit within a role is something that gets me excited. And it's something that we never got from we know who, DeAndre Ayton. So it's already a big positive, and I can't wait to see what he does for us this year. But Chris, these last three plays are just kind of talking about what I had said when we were going through our Suns up, you know, conversation, I guess you can say, in just the movement of the basketball is going to be key with this team this year. You have too many lethal options on the offensive end, but you can't get within the game of just sitting and watching one guy dominate the basketball. It is going to be so key and crucial to see these guys move without the basketball, right? Set those off-ball screens, have some passing cuts. We saw it a lot from Oso already so far. You see that kick out from Ryan Dunn over to Devin, who's a great three-point shooter. Tyus, great three-point shooter, swings it over to Kevin Durant, who I think could eclipse his 190 three-pointers made in a season, I think, this year. I mean, it's something that has already shown a glimmer of hope in the preseason. So we're going to keep an eye on it to start, obviously, through the first 10 of this year. But from what you've seen so far in the preseason, Chris, what are your hopes? And do you feel like this is going to be sustainable for this Phoenix Suns club to get wins playing this type of basketball?
Oh, without a doubt. I think it's completely sustainable. I think my only caveat with that is that they have to do it consistently. And are they going to be able to continue to apply the game plan, even if they're down in games and losing by double digits? I think we saw that a lot last season where they were able to do the one-on-one thing well and also really bad at times. And when they were doing it bad was typically them trying to claw their way out of an ugly deficit where Devin Booker, Kevin Durant felt like they had to take it upon themselves to try and get the team back in the game by themselves. So I think having that discipline to stick to the game plan, even when things might be off to a slow start, guys aren't knocking down their looks, continue to move the ball and trust that your open shooters, when they're open, they're going to knock down the shot. Yeah, you're going to have those games where guys are maybe 0-5, 0-6, but you got to stick with them because at the end of the day, shoot or shoot. I know there were a couple of games Royce O'Neal probably could have shot better last year, but you stick with him and he's going to give you performances like that. Kevin Durant, you know what he can do. Yeah, he's going to have some games where he misses a couple too, but by and large, I trust a good share of this team to knock down open threes especially.
Yeah, and this team is built to shoot the three-pointer, Chris. Like, that's the truth. I mean, you can even look at the second unit with Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal, adding Damian Lee back. I mean, that's going to be a conversation too, man. Like, there's going to be some guys on the outside looking in, unfortunately, who could probably contribute, but there's a lot of mouths to feed, right? And I know Mike Budenholzer likes to go deep on his bench, but you have to get continuity within the game rolling for some guys. So you can't really go 12, 13 deep every night, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how these lineups work and, you know, the mismatches this team is going to be able to create just from their ability to shoot from outside. Man, it's something that I can't wait to see. But just in this play alone, right, having Tyus Jones be able to set up the offense, get guys like Kevin Durant, even Devin Booker into screener roles to give them just a little bit of space. Great scorers, that's all they need, right? That's all they need to be successful. So we're going to have plenty of discussions further in the year, especially if things are successful about what's going to happen with some of these guys who are on league minimum deals. What does it look like? But Chris, I wanted to leave the best for last. That was outlet point guard. I can't wait for the Phoenix Suns to keep things rolling this year. But I'd be remiss if we did not do our season win predictions.
All right.
So I got to pass it to you, man. How many wins do you think the Phoenix Suns are going to have this year?
Mike, I'll get straight to the point. Last season, 49-33. Kind of surprised with all as much as we were banged up that we got 49 wins. I want to see them get 55 plus. I know that's kind of a big ask. I think the number one seed in the Western Conference last year only had 57 wins. So like I said, West is the strongest conference, very competitive. Really want to see them get 60 plus. I don't think that's super realistic. I think my realistic prediction is that this team can win 55 games and could lose 27 games. So 55 and 27 is my official prediction.
I like it. I like it a lot. Chris, that kind of works into the conversations that we've had of what does it look like to just have a point guard who can control the basketball and you don't turn over the basketball? That you can add 5 wins right there, right? And this Phoenix Suns squad seems to be built a little bit better, not only from the perimeter, adding some young guys, a little bit more depth at each position. If you look at what some of these pundits have been saying, Chris, in regard to the Phoenix Suns, I think ESPN, they had 14 analysts do their predictions for both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. Out of 14 ESPN analysts, 3 of them had the Suns in the Western Conference Finals, right? And Bobby Marks had them beating the Thunder in 7 games to go to the finals. Now they ended up, he chose the Celtics to beat them, I think, in 6 games. But I think the love that the Phoenix Suns are getting and they have been getting basically since the preseason started has been warranted. I know some of our guys are getting a little bit older. That's where you always have to kind of keep in mind, well, this team could be built to win 55 plus games, but what are the injuries look like, right? Kevin Durant was pretty healthy last year. Is that something that he's going to be able to sustain this year, especially coming off of an Olympic stint, right? Same for Devin Booker. I think I'm an even numbers guy. I want to go 54 wins, right? I was in between 52 and 54 wins. So maybe I am an even numbers guy. Maybe I should probably just go 53, hit right in the middle. So what is that, Chris? 53 and 29 puts the Suns in a top 4 seed, which is where we want to be. We want to have home court advantage for at least one time in the playoffs, man. You know, I've talked about this plenty of times. You got to have home court advantage at some point in the playoffs to get some juices rolling. All right, Chris, before we move on to Reddit Reacts, is there anything else you have about this Phoenix Suns squad? You ready to rock?
I'm ready to go, man. I just think the thing that's most interesting about this NBA season as a whole is that nobody knows anything. I think it's completely up in the air. We're out of the era of We're completely 100% out of the era of the Warriors being the best, of the Cavaliers or the Lakers. Like, it's pretty wide open. I like how spread out the talent is. I'm sure Adam Silver is loving it. There's a lot to look forward to the NBA as a whole. But with the Suns, I think a much bigger reason to be optimistic this year than last year. Of course, that's always subject to change based off performance and injuries. But even the national media doesn't know anything. ESPN has the Suns ranked 12 in their power rankings. NBA.com has the Suns ranked 6th in their preseason power rankings. So anybody's guess. Somewhere, but if we're top 12 team in the league, though, at the end of the day, that's still not bad, right, Mike? That means we're better than 18 other teams. I'll take it. Top 6, I like a little bit better, but top 12, I'll still take it. So one thing is for sure, Mike, this Suns team is going to be dangerous, and now it's all up to them to make the most of their 82 games that are ahead of them.
I can't wait. Like we said, tip off for the Phoenix Suns tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time in Los Angeles against the Clippers. If you are going to be at the game on Saturday, October 26th against the Dallas Mavericks, keep an eye out for us. Me and Chris Patrick will both be there. But Chris, it's that time. It's time to roll on into Reddit Reacts. So what do you got for us this time?
Oh boy, we had some requests and we delivered. I got some, I think 5 here for you in Reddit Reacts. Now, I've explained in the past, Mike, Reddit has been slacking a little bit lately with the content. It all started. We have a interesting relationship with r/Suns subreddit. We love those guys, but seriously, step up the content a little bit.
Get it together.
I think I mentioned usually once the season gets rolling, everyone comes home, all the snowbirds come back and become Suns fans. And I can't blame them. You know, posting out of season is not always easy. And also, you could say, hey, Chris, I don't see you posting in the Suns subreddit any banger content either. Hey, and that's fair. But all this to say is it is Reddit Reacts, but it's more internet reacts. We're also going out to x.com and specifically this first one here in Reddit Reacts. Mike, the WNBA season is over and the New York Liberty are your champions, securing their first title in franchise history. They defeated... Who did they defeat? The Lynx, the Minnesota Lynx, 3-2 in their 5-game championship. It was a game in overtime, actually. 67-62 was the final in OT, and the Liberty get the title. Mike, what an ending to a historic WNBA season. Liberty, a pretty dominant team with what Breonna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, and the like.
Yeah. I mean, and it was a nail biter, right? Game 5 went into overtime, and Breonna Stewart and Sabrina, they struggled offensively in Game 5, but they had their secondary weapons step up, and we saw that with MVP Joncale Jones. First title in 27-year history for the New York Liberty, man. That's awesome, man. The one thing I will say about the state of the WNBA as a whole, Chris, I think there are interesting conversations that are being had, right? We started the league season on a high with Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, all this new blood coming into the league. There was a lot of optimism. And Caitlin Clark had a hell of a season as well, getting Rookie of the Year and getting the Indiana Fever into the playoffs. But then we always have the rumblings coming out. These women see the success that is starting to grow within the league. So they're asking for money, which is deserved 100%. Right. But then the reports come out saying that the WNBA is losing $40 to $50 million a year. It's a tough spot because we want the women's game to continue to grow. And this is a good jumping off point. What happened this year? I think it's a positive that the New York Liberty won, especially with a couple of the faces of the league with Breonna Stewart and Sabrina Ionescu. I mean, both of these women have signature shoes, Chris. Breonna Stewart is with Puma, and Sabrina, we know, is with Nike, which is honestly might be one of the top three basketball shoes that hoopers wear nowadays. So the women's game is in a positive spot. We just have to see where it goes from here and continues to grow. But congrats, man, New York Liberty. Did you see the shirt of the Lady Liberty's hand with the ring on it? That was dope, man.
Ooh, I didn't see that. That sounds sick, though. No, honestly, yeah. What an incredible time for the WNBA. I mean, really happy for them. They set multiple records for attendance, viewership in their televised games. Of course, the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark rivalry played a big part in that. Caitlin Clark had an incredible rookie season, was one vote shy of being a unanimous Rookie of the Year. I don't know, man. It was interesting, though. There were times it was for sure Caitlin Clark that I think really spurred the growth this year. There were any time that the Indiana Fever went to another city, they were having to move games to other stadiums just to accommodate the amount of people that wanted to come see her play. Just here locally, they had usually for Mercury games, they don't open up the second deck. When Caitlin Clark came to town, they opened up ticket sales in the upper deck. So I think as this game continues to grow, and I believe there will be other Caitlin Clarks that come down the pipe, we see great female basketball players coming out of college every single season. And as this game just continues to grow and become more competitive, and kids are being trained from younger age with smarter understandings of the game and how to coach and develop young athletes, it's only going to grow. And with this league and players, it starts with the players like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, you know, Breonna Stewart, Kelsey Plum, Sabrina Ionescu, you name it, any of these girls, they're they are people and athletes for these young girls to look up to and aspire to something. Whereas I'm not saying you never had that in the past. Obviously you had the Lisa Leslies and the Candace Parkers of the world, but it's just like in the NBA, just like in any male professional sports league, you got a changing of the guard. And especially now with the media and the ability level of these girls, I think the sky's the limit. It is rough though. It's a rough conversation when you do have to recognize that when they're, you know, up against the NBA, obviously the revenue and the salaries aren't going to be the same. The viewership's not the same. The money generated isn't the same. I know the NBA historically has subsidized a great deal of the WNBA. So how can you continue to market these girls to where they can get more money coming in and have all of that continue to build and grow? So they are getting paid more because they do deserve to be compensated more. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But Mike, is there anything else you want to say about the Liberty winning their first championship there?
No, congrats, man. I mean, I feel for any fan base, when you go that long without going to the mountaintop, it is always sweet. So first time in their 27-year history. Congratulations, man. I don't know, man. Like, the Mercury seemed to be a little bit away. I know they made the playoffs, but Diana's retiring. I think she kept it away. I think they were talking on 98.7 today. She's not saying that she's retiring just yet. So that's fine. Take your time, Diana. We'll give you your crown of roses when you decide to hang them up, man. But Mercury got some work to do. Yeah. But can't wait to see what they do next year.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if DT is going to do the Larry Fitzgerald thing and like never actually.
No, she better not. She better not.
No more of that. Well, Mike, I actually do. I have one more WNBA meme, if you will, here in Reddit Reacts. I want to know what you think of this one. This is actually from Reddit, r/NBA memes and Draymond Beankick. The playoffs are where legacies are secured, and it's a picture from The Office, a meme format where Pam is holding up two pictures. It says, corporate needs you to find the difference between this picture and this picture. And it's a picture of James Harden and Sabrina Ionescu. I've probably pronounced her name 3 or 4 different times. But that's okay. You know who I'm talking about. Of the New York Liberty. And it says they're the same picture. Basically implying that you can always count on these two to choke in the playoffs. I think this is largely in reference to her shooting 1 of 19 from the field in game 5 of the finals game there. Fair comparison, Mike? Fair or foul?
Foul. Big time foul. Dude, she hit an absolute game changer 3 to win. I think it was game 3, right? To put them up in the series. No. Did James Harden have some of that within his playoff career? Maybe. But you know what sticks out like a sore thumb? His continued falling on his face, shooting absolutely horrid. But guess what? He don't have a championship. Sabrina just got one. So foul. I'm going absolutely with foul in this one.
Yeah, no, Mike, I think you're absolutely right. And I dug a little further after finding this one. She did have basically exactly the same field goal shooting percentage in the regular season as she did in the postseason, right around 39. I think regular season was 39.6. Playoffs was 39.4. So negligible, basically the same. She shoot or shoot, man. And yeah, some nights you're going to go 1 for 19. Other times you're going to go 12 of 15. It just, you don't quite know what you're going to get, but the great players keep shooting and will show up when relied upon. So you can say that about her. Don't know if you can say that about James Harden. And Mike, I don't know if this is specifically saying Rockets James Harden or if it's just James Harden in general, but yeah, I'm either way, I'm with you. I think this is foul.
Rockets James Harden, man. That's where a lot of the falling on his face took place. I mean, if you could say poor James Harden, he in his time frame within Los Angeles, he never had Kawhi Leonard, but I mean, it is what it is. That's what we know James Harden as, and I don't think anything is going to change about that anytime soon, especially now that Kawhi is out indefinitely, man. It might be a struggle of a season for the Clippers.
Oh man, the implosion of the Clippers, man. No more PG, no more Russ. Banged up Kawhi. Kawhi should just retire at this point, man.
Hang it up, dude.
Yeah. Good run. You had a good run.
Yeah, it's not worth it. I mean, he'll always be a legend in Toronto.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, but he can't stay healthy. It's time to call it, man.
Yeah, well, okay, and I guess quick question for you on Kawhi. Will he be considered a Spurs legend as well?
Maybe to a certain extent, like the lesser extent, right? I don't think you're quoting him in the same kind as Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, or Emmanuel Ginobili, but he was a key piece to that championship team when they beat the Miami Heat. I'm pretty sure he won the MVP.
I believe that's correct.
That finals anyway, so... there's always different tiers of legend status, so he's just on the notch a little bit under comparative to those other, especially those big three guys. I think you add David Robinson into that top list as well for the Spurs, but the Spurs definitely have a different type of tier because of the amount of titles that they won, so we're putting them on the second tier for San Antonio. How about that?
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair, especially when you consider the history of the Spurs being much richer than the history of the Raptors. Now, you know, that is how it is. But, you know, when we're talking about legends and players that are retiring or should retire, Mike, I'm sure you saw the news. This is from Bleacher Report on X. Breaking news, Derrick Rose has announced that after 15 NBA seasons, he's retiring from basketball. This news is about a month old at this point. This dates back to September 26th here. But quite the career, obviously most known for playing with the Bulls, played for the Knicks for a period of time, and then kind of bounced around. What, he was with Memphis for a little bit. Help me out. Did he play anywhere else?
Oh, gosh. Towards the end, he went to a couple of places, I know. But I think his good stints towards the end was New York. Memphis, he was okay. That was kind of really towards the end. And then he had that big outspurt where I think he had over 50 when he was on the Timberwolves. So definitely moved around after his injuries. But I mean, 15 years, man, that's something that you can't knock, right?
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And prime Derrick Rose was something to watch, man. It is the way he was just so stone cold about everything too. I mean, I think there's that classic picture where he hits a game winner and then he's just walking away. It's almost like Dame. Him and Dame had a similar one, right? Where they're getting like lifted up and they're just like stone cold. Like, and the explosiveness of Derrick Rose is another thing I'll never forget, man. And he did get some criticism, I think, in the middle part of his career there, where I think he had a quote saying something like, he wants to be able to pick up his grandkids when he's older, and that's why he isn't as explosive as he used to be. But I mean, after you knew he was going to be heading towards knee surgeries and whatnot. Like, I got one more thing to share here as it pertains to Derrick Rose. This is his performance against the Suns in 2010. Just a quick spat of highlights. I should have pulled up his stat line from here, but this is just a small sampling of one game. But I think it really accentuates, like, Derrick Rose. I mean, his ability to pace and space the floor. Like, he does have that explosiveness, yeah, but he also like has the finesse as well. Is that something you're going to remember about Derrick Rose?
Oh, absolutely. And Chris, there are two specific plays from me going to NBA games. Okay, maybe there's three. Sorry, there's three. One of them was when I was a ball boy. I remember Amari hitting the turnaround when he scored 50 points against Portland. And it was just something that I'd never seen before. It was incredible to see somebody score 50 right in front of my face on the floor. But there are two plays that, sitting in the stadium, have ever made me truly stand up and go, what just happened? And the first one was when Kobe Bryant dunked on Steve Nash off of the edge in the Western Conference, I think, semifinals. The Suns ended up winning that series, but it was the same series, I think, when Rajah Bell clotheslined Kobe. And then this was it, Chris. I was there for this game when he elevated on Goran Dragic and threw it down with such ease with two hands. I was shocked. I was utterly stunned that this guy, who was 6'2", 6'3", maybe, had that type of elevation. But he was the whole package during his prime, Chris. Like, we know it. And if you look at his career, he had a very, very successful career, if you truly think about it. And you look at his numbers, 17.4 points, 5.2 assists. He was a three-time All-Star, the 2008-2009 Rookie of the Year, and obviously that 2011 MVP. End of an era, man. This starts to put even more things kind of into perspective as some of these guys start to call it quits, right? You know, when is LeBron calling it? When is Steph Curry calling it? And when is Kevin Durant going to call it? I think we still got a couple of years, but we definitely wanted to give our hats off to Derrick Rose. He's just one of those generational guys that really started to change the game. And from that point guard position to be as explosive as he was something special to watch. And I'm happy that I was around to watch it, man. But best of luck to Derrick in his career moving forward, whatever he chooses to do. But man, thanks for all the good times, Derrick.
Yeah, no, fun player to watch. If you're a fan of basketball, you have to appreciate what Derrick Rose did. And just like a quiet guy, and not really, I haven't ever heard anyone say, I hate Derrick Rose, or that, you know, that they dislike Derrick Rose. I think a lot of that also has to do with him coming from the Eastern Conference for the most successful part of his career, very unthreatening. You know, I don't think he ever competed for a championship for any of the teams he played for. So just one of those guys, man, like almost like an Allen Iverson type in a lot of ways, where very exciting to watch, but never played on the most killer of teams. But yeah, you said it best, Mike. Big props to Derrick Rose. 15 years is quite the accomplishment in the NBA. Very few guys make it that far. And especially his ability to be flexible and kind of change his personality. You know what I'm trying to say. He changed his style of play to be able to flex and extend his career. And, you know, it's not easy. Not a lot of guys can do that. So props to Derrick Rose. We'll move forward here. Got a couple more for you, Mike. I love, love, love going on Reddit and checking in with our friends over at r/Mavericks. This comes from user Black White Coke. Mike, they're so delusional. It's a picture of Luka leaning over the grave. The dirt pile says official franchise rebuilder Luka Doncic. And then on the headstone, you have the Clippers, the Jazz, the Timberwolves, and of course, your very own Phoenix Suns. Mike, do you feel like Luka has ended the Phoenix Suns franchise?
No. I think we're in a good spot this year. I'm excited to see how this team competes. I mean, if you think about it, though, Chris, I mean, when they beat us in Game 7...
Yeah,
that kind of started the roll of unfortunate events towards the end of our NBA Finals team, right? I mean, after that, the next season, they get trounced by the Denver Nuggets, and then it's bye-bye Monty Williams, bye-bye DeAndre Ayton. No, I mean, Luka's top five player in this league. I get it. I truly get it. But he hasn't ended our franchise, and he hasn't won a championship. So I think you just got to be careful how you attack other fan bases when you ain't won shit at the end of the day. Because if you think about it, the Phoenix Suns have made the finals in the last 5 years. So we're right alongside you, buddy. Like, win one, then we'll talk. How about that?
Yeah, I have to agree, man. And you see, this one got a lot of love here. Almost 1,300 upvotes. It's a lot for those guys that are r/Mavericks. They're a vicious subreddit, and they do think highly of their Mavericks. You know, there's that fine line between confidence and cockiness, right, Mike? I mean, it's easy to talk shit when you have a guy like Luka Doncic on your team and he's doing well the majority of the time, but then he's going to be under the microscope for all these other fan bases when he doesn't have such a great game or when he implodes. I'll give him credit. They'll be the first to criticize him when Luka Doncic ends up giving up possessions and points because he's too busy complaining to the ref. He has a lot of flaws that I think if Luka was a little bit more disciplined, that was a complete mistake. If Luka was a little bit more disciplined, I think he could be just perennially the best player in the league, MVP caliber player. But he cares too much and he complains too much. And you know, I'll give the r/Mavs fans some credit. But yeah, this post, a little unhinged. I mean, the Clippers, to say that their franchise falling apart had anything to do with the Mavericks is just absolute baloney. The Clippers have been held together with duct tape and super glue for years now. The Minnesota Timberwolves are just fine. Anthony Edwards is an absolute stud. They still got Rudy Gobert. They just added Julius Randle. They're going to be okay. The Utah Jazz... maybe. I mean, they're not too terrible. They got Lauri Markkanen. They got some young guys. They can be competitive. And then, yeah, the Phoenix Suns, they, you know, they didn't end us, but they did force us into a pretty crazy rebuild. So I'll give them a grain of salt there that, you know, we basically stripped it down to just Devin Booker and then rebuilt entirely around him from there, going as far as adding Kevin Durant. And now, you know, over the next 2 years, they're going to be top three team in payroll. And Matt Ishbia is going to be getting into tax aprons unseen by any man in the history of the NBA. But yeah, no, so this meme's a little crazy, but it's all part of the preseason banter, right, Mike?
Tax aprons that weren't even conceivable before. Okay, so you're giving the official franchise rebuilder, you're giving him half a point. That's okay.
Yeah, maybe 50%.
I'd like to make a petition to officially call him Duka Loncic moving forward. If that's okay with you, Chris, I'd love to start initiating that right now on the night of 2024-2025 NBA season. Duka Loncic, we're going to see him on Saturday.
Actually, I love it. Duka Loncic, it is. I might have to get a Duka Loncic jersey or something. What number is he? Is he like 33?
So, oh gosh.
The number.
He's 77.
I think. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So it'd be the same forward and backward. Okay. Well, that works then. So Duka Loncic, seeing him Saturday. Damn, early. Awesome. Well, Mike, I did promise you I have one more. Reddit reacts, and as I mentioned, we love r/Suns. They were the inspiration behind us creating this segment, so I'd be remiss if I didn't include a post from our good old friends over there. This one comes from user Brady Galaxy, posted 7 days ago. Mike, I mentioned their love for Ryan Dunn earlier in our stream, and this one, you just got sent to the dungeon.
Yes, sign me up.
We had the McHale jail, now we have the dungeon. This is where you go when you're getting locked up, when you're just having that Ryan Dunn defense. He's got the red laser eyes. This is a Minecraft.
I was about to say, that's definitely a Minecraft dungeon right
background
there.
Background dungeon thing. What do you think of the dungeon, Mike? Is that going to catch on?
Oh, I love it. I mean, it works perfectly within his moniker for right now, right? He's known kind of for his defensive prowess. So shutting him down, put him in the dungeon, lock him away. That's always one of my favorite things every year, you know, when these new rookies come in, what are their nicknames going to be? There's some guys who come from college already have something cemented, right? But guys who are kind of a little bit more in the background, you got to get them involved on their professional team and see what comes about. So, Chris, I'm giving a thumbs up right now to Suns Reddit. We haven't seen it in a while, but send them to the dungeon. Let's go, baby. That's a great start. That's a great nickname for Ryan Dunn.
Yeah, I think, you know, r/Suns, they're shaking off the dust and the rust of the offseason. They love him some Ryan Dunn, so send him to the dungeon. I'm here for it. I loved McHale jail. The memes that came out of that were really, really freaking awesome. So I expect that they'll be right up there with that caliber. I think I'd put this probably one tier under McHale jail to start, but that's just because I think there's a lot of room for Dunn to prove himself. And the difference between McHale being established guy in our starting five and Dunn still being kind of a question mark, I don't think he has the potential to reach starting five caliber this season. At least you hope not. But how big of a role he'll play on this team has been yet to seem. But the dungeon, I do like it. I do like it a lot. And that will complete the Reddit reacts, and we'll keep an eye out on r/Suns throughout the season so we can keep some good content coming out for you guys. But that's all I got, Mike.
Beautiful, Chris. Appreciate you as always bringing the goods for Reddit reacts. And Chris, with that being said, I think we have come to the end of episode 22. It's been a fun one. I don't know. Have we looked at what the score is for the Lakers and Minnesota Timberwolves? Okay. Third quarter, about 9 minutes left, 62-47. Los Angeles with the lead right now. Probably going to hop off and go watch that game just to finish out the day because basketball is back, baby. Basketball is here. The 2024-2025 NBA season has finally arrived. Like we said, we were on a hiatus from Pass the Outlet. Lots of things going on in the Valley. We always are bringing you guys new content over at Valley Sports Plug on YouTube. Make sure you're following us at AZ_VSP so you can stay up to date with all the Valley Sports action as well. But before we get out of here, Chris, do you have anything last to say to the people?
Yeah, Mike, really excited that basketball season is back. Expect Pass the Outlet to be happening more frequently as we continue to keep content pushing out here for you guys. We try and do a live stream at least once a week, as Mike mentioned. This game with the Lakers and Timberwolves, a little bit unexpected for me. I know the Lakers are dangerous. What's not unexpected is that Bronny James is 0-2, 0 points, 1 rebound, 3 minutes played. I'm honestly just really surprised that he's on the active roster. I don't know how long it will be before he's sent down to G League, but I love it. I love the memes, love the storylines, love that basketball is back and that we're going to be getting out to a game early. Really appreciate you, Mike. Had fun tonight.
Yes, sir. As always, thank you guys for watching, supporting us, coming and joining us here on Pass the Outlet, episode 22. I'm your co-host, Michael Benjamin. That's Chris Patrick. We'll see you guys next time. Go Suns.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Ball is life, plain and simple. You know, ask any baller. If you know, you know.
The game has changed, but it's still the same. You want it, go get it.
Shazam!
The inbounds pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line, the shot on Elo.
Ah, the Bulls win! They win it!
Mike, you're honestly telling me that you're top five.
Yeah.
Top five of all time.
No question about it.
Booker, this is for the win. Got it. Wow.
Yo. The ruling on the floor is made basket.
You know, one thing's for sure. Over at Valley Sports Plug, you're never going to catch us slipping.
With the first overall pick, the Phoenix Suns select.
3, 2, 1.